The Family Plan, that's our next series. I love it. Now listen, here's the deal. As we're studying Jonah and we're talking about he has a very big something at the end, and I'm not talking about the whale. At the end of the story, there's something wrong with Jonah. What was it? You remember? There's chocolate involved. What? Did you say? Oh, I thought you said it. Okay. Yeah, Josh? Yes, he was in the belly of the whale. But at the very end, he got out of the belly of the whale, but he had something wrong. Yeah. Yes. All right. There's some chocolate for that. He had a heart problem. Yeah. What else?
Bitter.
He was bitter. Look at that. Josh, you want to go ahead? What? He was. I'll give you that. Okay, good. He was mad at God. He was bitter. He had a heart problem. And his heart problem, remember that? His heart problem was that he didn't love people. You guys kind of said it in a couple different ways. He didn't love people. He's like, God, I love you. I'm your prophet, whatever. He didn't prove that very well because he took off running. But then at the end, he's like, God, listen, I love this plant in my own pleasure and my own comfort more than I love this people. Like, there was a lot of people in that city, and he didn't even show love or compassion for them. And so, as I thought about it, as we ended that, we need to learn something from Jonah. We don't need to just stop at the end of that story and go, oh, yeah, we need to love people, and then just walk away from it. We need to love people, so let's figure out what that means. And so the next series that I want us to go through over the next few weeks and months is that we're going to call it the Family Plan, connecting with God and others. Family, right? Friends, family, it includes the whole deal. People and relationships actually matter. And you guys know that. I have some more chocolate, so I'm going to ask some more questions. Or you can tell me some more stuff about Jonah. Let's do it that way so I don't have to hold the bag the whole rest of the time. So someone tell me something else about Jonah and we can move on with our series. Yeah. The whale was expecting God. What story did you... Huh? Yes, Jonah wanted it to happen. You're right. Caitlin? What? I almost got you. Yeah.
He didn't want God to show mercy.
Correct. Didn't want God. I'm sorry. Didn't want God. I probably didn't need to throw it at you when you're this close. I know. I'm sorry.
He ignored God.
He did. He tried to run. Did you say Jesus? I will beat you.
Jeez.
Chelsea? Well, there you go. That's the obvious one. What else? I have five more. He was. Is that about the plant? Yeah. Oh, whoa. We're getting all deep now. Yeah.
He
definitely did not want to go there.
Oh.
Vicky, you already got... Oops, there's one more. I squished it. I can't hear you, though. Yes, Vicky, can you get that? Oh, I did a terrible throw. Terrible. All right, last one. Ooh, 3 days in the belly of the whale. You want a bag? You can have the bag because it's empty. Still want it? It's not that deep of a question. Okay, so now we can scoot on with our series here. All right, so we're talking about relationships. What is a relationship? Who can answer that real quick? Any ideas? How would you define a relationship?
Two people
at least interacting. Okay. How? Interacting how? Huh? Could be in a good way, right? Could be in a bad way. So we're talking about people. That was Jonah's problem. He didn't love people well. If you think about it, think about your life. I want you to try to figure out how many relationships you have. Two people interacting. How many people do you interact with in a relationship? It could be a very shallow one, could be a very deep one, whatever. Just try to figure out all the relationships you might have. You might want to think down your Facebook friend list. You might want to think down like a contact list on your phone. I don't know how you're going to do it, but think about it. How many relationships? Well, I don't know if there's an answer, if you really know you're a genius, but go ahead. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, like a category would be family. Absolutely. That's where I was going next, so let's go there. What other categories do they fit in besides family? Friends, family. There we go. The Family Plan. Are there others besides just that?
Acquaintances.
Enemies. Josh? People you work with. Yeah.
People you hate.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I'm going to work on that one. That's another series, though. Jonah. How about dating relationships? People you date, people that you marry and have kids with and have a family with eventually. Not yet, not too soon. Slow down, okay? But yeah. So there's a lot of them. As you think about relationships, I want you to take this quiz for me. Look on the screen. I'm going to put a quiz up there. And I want you to actually be serious about this. I know we've been goofing off up to this point and throwing chocolate and everything else. But look at this. It's kind of a serious quiz. It says, whose expectations are you trying to meet? Think about your relationships that you just pictured in your head. And think about, what are things you do to impress other people? Who? This one isn't really to answer out loud, Josh. Just in your heart, just kind of think about it. As you do things to impress certain people? To meet expectations for certain people? Are you doing things solely for other people to see it? And if so, who? The first choice is your date, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, somebody that you like or have little butterflies in your belly for, whatever. Do you do things to meet their expectations? To maybe impress them? Or maybe society, like you see it, like some really awesome athlete that you admire a lot and you try to do things and be like certain ways so that you look like them, you act like them. People look at you and go, you're kind of like LeBron James. That'd be horrible for you, I'm sorry, but anyway, society has a way of telling you to be a certain way. Are you listening? Are you trying to be what the media and what Hollywood and celebrities and people you look up to in society tell you to be? How about the next one? The popular vote, like people at school maybe, your friends, maybe the popular crowd. Do you look to a certain group of people that you like at school and you're like, man, I'm going to dress a certain way and maybe I'll fit in. I'm going to say certain things in class so that maybe they'll think I'm cool enough to hang out with them. I'm going to go to certain places so I'll be accepted by a certain group of people that I think are the popular people. Or, look at D, are you living solely for God's expectations? And you're like, that's a trick question. You just totally got us, Rob. Now we all feel bad about ourselves, blah, blah, blah. I'm in the crowd. I'm joining you. Because most of us, as we read down that list, can probably pick A, B, or C, or a mixture of the three. And very few of us are probably like, I'm totally living just for God's expectations right now. So don't feel like you're alone in this, all right? But it is something we need to look at together. We need to look at, why are we living? Why are we doing the things we do? Are we trying to impress God? Or are there other people out there that are like demanding our attention and trying to get us to live to meet their expectations? That will tell you what kind of relationships you have. Are they healthy ones that are looking towards Christ, that are lifting you guys up so that you're living for things that'll last? Or are they relationships that are just totally selfish, that people are just grabbing your attention so they feel better about themselves, and first thing comes, they're out of there, leaving you totally alone? Or are they real relationships, meaningful relationships? I remember when I was in elementary school, I was in first grade. You remember the story I told you where I used to go to first grade and throw up? Like, I couldn't go to class. I was so nervous. I'd puke on the sidewalk, in the garden, the whole deal. Same class, same year. I think I even threw up that morning, but the story is not about the throw up. Anyway, so I go to class. We had this thing in first grade called the reading circle. Anybody have reading circle? And like, yeah, like you get those little weird blue plastic chairs that are really uncomfortable and you sit around. And I was a little chunky kid and like a really little chair, not comfy. And so we're sitting around in our little reading circle and we got our books and we're all taking our turn reading and we're all proud, like, yeah, man, I did a good job in my paragraph. They think I'm awesome. And we go around the circle and everybody's like all proud. All of a sudden, it gets this one girl. She's really shy, really quiet. And we're all waiting for her because it's her turn to read. Did you hear that? Did you hear the awkward silence? That's exactly what it was. And we're like, what? Come on, what's her problem? And we're all looking at her like, it's your turn. Some little boy's like bumping her like, it's your turn to read. And she's just like, this is awkward. What do we do? Like, we're sitting here in silence. And all of a sudden, she just starts getting like pink, and then it gets to like red, and then she turns purple, and we're like, what is this girl's problem? Well, I had this, my best friend in first grade. He was my best friend because as I would come into class throwing up, he was the kid who got up and walked right over to me and said, hey, buddy, you can sit with me. And he came and like made me sit with him. So I was like, he's my best buddy. And his name was Jermaine Ivory. That was his name, Jermaine. Yeah, we hung out. We were awesome. Anyway, I'll explain that one later. So me and Jermaine was a loud dude, but he was friendly and loving, but he was just loud. And he said whatever was on his mind. Jermaine noticed something as she's sitting there turning purple, and we're all just like, why is she not reading? And he gets up, stands in the middle of the circle, and points at her and goes, you peed your pants! Screams it right in the... And you know how when you're in a circle, everybody sees you. Like, I'm being looked at, and all the eyes are like... And you can see it's like a puddle, like pee coming down. She's like, she's turning purple. She like starts bawling her eyes out. And now everybody else is like, that was funny. Let's all do it. You peed your pants. And we're all pointing and singing it. And it's like getting worse. And she's starting with this whole, you know that cry where it gets really bad? And you're like, and you sound like you're hiccuping, but kind of like can't breathe. That's what she was doing, that one. And in between her, like, she goes, you're not my friends, just like that. And I heard it, and it was just like, oh, like that's sad. Like, I remember I felt so bad for her, and everybody else was still like, ah, you peed your pants. And I'm like, oh, dude, I feel horrible for you. Like, we're your friends. And I kept thinking that question, like, why does she think we're not her friend? Like, I was just goofing off. I was having fun. We're buddies. Like, we can joke like that. Not her. Like, she didn't think it was funny. She didn't think that was cool for us to be screaming in her face, like pointing like you peed your pants. She couldn't even get up and run out, because if she got up, then we'd see like her wet pants. So she didn't even know what to do. She's just like, I'm stuck. And we just made it worse by like pointing and laughing. I still remember first grade for that, because I remember the reading circle and how bad I felt for that little girl. And as I think about that, you know, I think how important relationships are. How important that we be people that really love other people. Because if I asked you and I gave you a mic and I said, hey, come on up here and share an awkward story that you have like that, everybody in this room could come up here and share an experience where they felt like total trash because of what other people have done. You had a pee-pee story that you could tell, all right? And you could come up here and be like, I was so humiliated. Because relationships are important to us. Friends are important to us. Family is important to us. The people that we date and eventually marry and have families with, they're important to us. And you know why relationships are important? Because God made them that way. God designed us to be in relationships with Him, first of all, and with each other. And so as we start to look at these series, we're going to go through some different categories of relationships, like Josh pointed out. And we're going to start tonight in Matthew chapter 22. We're looking at verses 36 to 40. We're going to see the most important relationship here that we can see. Matthew 22, verse 36. It says this, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So you have this guy, and he goes up to Jesus, and he's like, look, you know, Jesus, that we have all sorts of laws. We've got a ton of them, and we try to follow them to please God and to make Him happy. And so with all these tons of different laws that we have, how would you explain which one of all of them is the most important, that we definitely shouldn't break, that we shouldn't mess up? And Jesus answers with two things. He's like, you know what? That's an easy question. Because I can sum up every single one of these laws with two phrases. And the first one is that you love God. Now, sometimes we don't kind of think of it that way. We think, like, we hear all the time, God loves us. And we're so used to hearing about Jesus dying for us. And people want you to hear it because it's so important. And we hear about God's love for you, we forget that we're also commanded to love Him. That there's supposed to be a relationship between us and God, and it's not just this one-way thing where we come to church and like, okay, come on, God, feed me, love me, do this for me, let your body of Christ serve me. It's, God, let this be a two-way thing where I can love you back because you deserve to be loved. You should actually be in a relationship with God Himself. Not just like this whole thing where they're like, all right, go home and read your Bible for 5 minutes and then pray for two and you'll be good for a week. Your sins will be forgiven. That's not what we're saying. Because that's a really lame, dry relationship. What we're saying is God loves you so much that He wants to be intimately involved with you in a relationship. A fun, awesome, living, breathing relationship between you and God through the Holy Spirit. because of what Jesus did. How awesome is that? And he says, the greatest of all of these commands is that you love him, but not just love him. Check this out. He defines how. First of all, he says, with all your heart. All right, so I need your help. If I love something with all my heart, what does that look like? What are some things that I might do if I love something, anything, with all my heart? You don't stop talking about it? Yeah. Yeah, your time gets poured into it. What else? Huh? Oh, sorry. Junior high was like, you buy it chocolates and flowers? Okay, I get. Yeah, I guess, but that's awesome. Anything else? One little junior higher did answer this. They said, you'd be willing to give your life for it. If you love it with all your heart, you'd be willing to give your life for it. And I responded, I said, that sounds like a story we've heard. It sounds like this guy named Jesus that we hear so much about. God loves you so much, he was willing to give his life for you. And we're called to love him with all of our heart back. And your heart describes your passions, your desires, the things that you really want. In other words, you want God more than anything else. God, I want to be in this relationship with you more than anything. And he says, okay, that sounds like a lot, like there's nothing left, right? Nope, let me take it up one more notch, because that's not everything. Even though it is, there's more. I want you to love me with all your heart, but also with all your soul. Wait a minute. Like, how do you get more than, like, my whole heart? Like, what else is there? Well, there is more. What does a soul represent? Any ideas? Why does he say your soul? Is that, like, floaty, like, gaseous-looking thing inside of you that's like a phantom? What is it? What's your soul? What is it? Let me teach you something. This is good. Ready? Teaching moment. Your life. The source of your life, of your identity, of who you actually are. The core of you. God, my entire life is yours. So when that little junior higher said, I'd be willing to give my life, guess what? That's exactly what God's wanting. Your life. Why? Because he created your life. He took your soul and put it in there. He breathed it into you. And then when you messed up and died and condemned yourself to hell, guess what he did? He gave you a second chance to give it back to you again. He keeps your molecules together right now. He's keeping you breathing. He wants it because it's his. And he's like, don't just love me with all your heart. Love me with all your entire life. Your whole soul should be wrapped up in me, the very identity of who you are. Then he says this, last one. There's another one, because two wasn't enough, right? Let me go even further and one up it even one more time. With all your mind. Oh, that's a hard one sometimes. Because if you're like me, it's like I can be reading my Bible, I can be worshiping, I can come to church and stuff, and I could still have that mind problem. So-and-so just says something to me and gets me so mad, I'm just thinking in my head, like, what do I want to do? Ah, and your mind gets out of control. You just picture doing like a wah on them, you know, and like taking them out. Or other things go through your mind. Mind's hard to control. What is it? What are the things that go through your mind? Because God says, I want all of it. I want your heart. I want your life, your soul. I want your thoughts. I want your mind. I want your desires. I want everything. Literally, by saying this phrase, he's saying, I'm not leaving anything out. Every last thing that pertains to you, I want you to love me with it. That's not the relationship that many of us know when we talk about having a relationship with God. So many of us can be stuck in this weird thing where we're still trying to figure out, like, what is this thing even between me and God? Like, it's this awkward thing. I don't even know how to talk to him and pray. And that's okay. But he says, take all of you and just keep throwing it at me. Keep loving me with it all, and I'm going to do the work inside of you as I take your heart and your soul and your mind, and with my Holy Spirit, I'm going to change it, and I'm going to grow you, because we have a relationship. Look how cool that is, this relationship. And so he says, all right, so that's what I want you to do, but that's not the only one. There's just two, right? The rest of the way I can sum up all this stuff is by saying, first of all, love God. That's the most important thing. But the second's like it. It's not less important that we love people, because that's what he's about to say next. Love God and love people. It's not less important, like second to it, that you love people. it's just as important that you love people. It's just that you should love God most. All of your heart and soul and mind and strength should go toward God. But it's just as important that because of that relationship, you fiercely love people. And he's going to talk about just how much in a minute. But look at it. He says, the second is like it. So it's just as important that you love your neighbor. All right. So does that mean like this morning you guys should have got up and went to your neighbor's house and like knocked on the door, went in, and then like pulled them out of bed and here you go, let me brush your teeth and get your hair combed, because I would do that for myself. Hopefully some of you brush your teeth, right? Put some deodorant on you, stick some clothes on. All right, here we go. I'm going to make you breakfast and feed you. Is that what I'm doing? How do I love someone the way I love myself? Because I would do those things for myself. What is he actually trying to say here by that phrase, love your neighbor as yourself? Any thoughts? Oh, you guys are so nervous tonight. Just speak to me. Yes. Yeah, okay, that's a great start. Don't be a jerk to them. Yes. We'll go with that one. Chelsea? Oh, yeah. That's it right there. Bing, bing, bing. Put them before yourself. Remember Jesus in Philippians chapter 2? When he came, he said, he became a servant. He put other people before himself. So the way you love people well, the way God loves people, is by putting them before you. Those are some real relationships. Now think about some of those relationships I had you think about at the beginning and start to process a little bit and say, how healthy are these things? These people that I call my friends, these people that I have relationships with in my life, do they look like this? Are they actually healthy? And Jesus finishes that by saying, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So basically, the entire Bible is really about just one thing. Just one thing. And without saying the word Jesus, because that's the Sunday school answer, okay? What do you think the whole Bible is about? Yeah, another way to say what you guys are saying is relationships. Loving God, being in relationship with Him, and loving other people because of it, being in relationship with them. And all these laws and the prophets, everything basically revolved around those things. And Jesus said, I could sum it all up by just telling you, love God with everything you are. And if you're doing that, you won't just obey the law. You'll actually be going far beyond what the law requires because you are so in love with Him. And if you truly love people the way you love yourself, you're going to go far beyond the law because you're so in love with God and love people. And so he said, I can sum the whole thing up with this. Relationships are so important. And we know that because we can feel it. You feel it when you go to school. You feel it when you're with your families. You feel it every time you meet a new person. You're sitting next to people tonight because we're in relationship. God loves relationship. And he's designed it. So do we know how to function in a relationship in a healthy way? Do we really know how to take the most important thing in creation, these relationships that he's given us, and use them the way he would have us use them? Matthew chapter 6, check this out. Verses 31 to 33. Some of you guys are like, well, Rob, I'm that guy that just like, or girl that's like, I don't have many friends. Relationships freak me out. I go to school and I wonder who I'm going to sit with at lunch, and I'm going to be alone at the lunch table, or who am I going to sit with in class, or is so-and-so going to be talking behind my back and destroying me to all of my friends, and I'm going to have to like put up with that all day long? Like, you're that person that's scared to death of relationships and maybe of people because you're like always thinking, what are these people planning or doing or saying? And you feel like you spend your life at school or whatever just looking over your shoulder like, what's next? Or just hoping someone's going to come talk to you. Or maybe you're that person that's really popular. And you're just worried that the next popular kid's going to boot you out of your spot. And you have to keep acting like a total jerk just so that people will think you're cool and be so scared of you that they won't boot you out of your position. Relationships can get messed up so quickly if they're not founded on the most important thing. And here we find what it is. God. So if we're going to spend a couple weeks talking about relationships, the first one we have to talk about tonight is the one that is the foundation for every other relationship. Your relationship with Him. Are you growing in Him? Do you talk to Him? Do you get in the Word? Do you spend time with Him as your friend? so that he can grow you and so you can have healthy relationships everywhere else in life. Matthew chapter 6, for those of you who are like, man, I'm just scared to death of these relationship things. 31 to 33 says this, therefore don't be anxious or worried, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But, check this verse out, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Sometimes it's easy to look at all the physical stuff. We look at relationships, you know, the physical type relationships, and we desire them. I want to be popular. I want people to like me. I want. I want a ton of friends, and I want to be. But we're not looking for the depth. We're looking for the popularity. We're looking for something that will satisfy us physically. We're looking for that dating relationship that will give us pleasure. There's no depth, and there's no meaning. And what he's saying here is some of us are so focused on the physical stuff, and we think, God, do you even care? Like, and what he's saying is, Jesus knows every last thing, even what you need to eat today. He knows the clothes that you need to wear. He knows the most basic necessities, and guess what? He actually cares about them. He cares whether you eat. He cares that you're clothed. If he cares that a flower is wearing beautiful clothes and colors, he's going to care about you. If he cares that the birds have something to eat, some nasty little wart-toed frog has food, he cares about you because he loves you. And so he says, instead of cutting corners and just trying to get those things for yourself however you can, look at verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then every last need in your life, including relationships, because we need those. He created that in us. Including those will be given to you if you seek him first, if you seek righteousness first. But see, we're in the business of cutting corners sometimes where we're like, you know what, I'll be that total like disrespectful dude in class to my teacher, so all my buddies are like, oh dude, he's so awesome. Did you hear what he said to her? Or I'm going to be that bully on the field so that I'm like toughest guy on the team and everybody follows me around and worships me, chants my name, yeah. I'm going to be that girl that dresses however I need to dress so that guys look at me and make me feel good about myself. Guys know that I'll do whatever just so that they'll love me and they'll like me and pay attention to me. Guys, it's easy to cut corners. It's easy to try to jump right in just so that we get what we want right then. God says, don't even start these relationships until you've found one with me. Seek first my righteousness and my kingdom. Then these things will be added to you. If you have to be popular by being a jerk, you're probably not going to like the people that are hanging out with you and thinking you're so cool. And if you have to go that far with a guy just so he likes you, he's probably just going to ruin your life down the road anyway. You see, God says, build it on something that lasts, that means something. Me. The only thing that lasts. The one that loves you more than anyone else. And then as you grow with me, you can start to build on that with other people. And you can have a life so full of amazing relationships because God's in them. And he's loving through you in a healthy, right way. Don't cut corners. You guys know Billy Graham? Anybody? Ever heard the name Billy Graham? Famous preacher. Billy Graham said, one with God is a majority. Can anyone explain what that means? One with God is a majority. Anyone know? I'll help you out. No, go ahead. Yeah, you take every last person who's ever lived and ever will live and stick them all on one side and you're standing with God. Guess who's still going to win and it's just you and God? God's still bigger. You're like, well, Rob, I feel alone. Like, I'm not sure I have a ton of friends. A, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love him like crazy. Grow in a relationship with him first before you start worrying about all this other stuff. And see as he loves through you to other people how it's going to change your relationships. The type of friendships that's going to grow in you and around your life. You're not alone if you're standing with God. He's the most important. There's another lady, Hannah Woodall Smith is her name. You don't need to know who she is, but she says an awesome thing. She says, there she is, she looks so funny. Look, she says, when all else is gone, God is still left, and nothing changes him. Man, we serve a big God. That's the God that loves you. That's the God that's on your side, and you're never alone. Seek him first. I want to end with this passage. You got to see this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. It says this. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Every time I heard growing up a talk or a sermon or whatever you want to call it, on this topic, I always sat there and would think, but what happens when I'm like sad and crying and alone? Like, who's going to come up and hug me? You know, like, who's going to be that person that I could talk to and get feedback from? Who's like, where is God to come up and wrap his arms physically around me and say, like, it's okay. I can't hear his voice. You know, I can't sit and see him face to face and talk to him. So you're telling me all this stuff about like have this relationship with God first is the most important. But what about when I'm sitting alone, heartbroken, like that little girl in the prayer or in the reading circle? Like, where is he then? How can I really be that intimate with a God I can't see? And John is saying the same thing. You see what he said? No one has ever seen God, because that's the question in everyone's mind right now during this talk here. Like, no one's ever seen him. We're all like, how are we going to be this intimate like you're talking about if I can't even see him? Look what he says next. If we love one another, God, what? What does it say next? Abides in us. You're like, well, like, he can't come hug me. I can't look at him with my own eyes. I can't hear his voice audibly. And John's like, really? That's not even intimate. That doesn't even hold a candle to how intimate God is with you. He does way better than give you some physical hug. He does way better than just seeing him could ever be. He literally comes into you. The Holy Spirit literally comes to dwell and commune and hug, if you will, your spirit and becomes united with you. Your life becomes joined with the creator of the entire universe as you have a relationship with him. There's no human that can ever be that intimate with you. Ever. You want an intimate personal relationship with someone who actually cares, that's deeper and more meaningful than anything you've ever imagined? There it is. That's what God offers to you. Stop worrying about all this other stuff. And before we go on and talk about any other relationship, know that the most personal and the most important is with your Creator. And as he abides in you, it says, his love is perfected. So you can love other people. So that as I love Jordan, God's loving Jordan through me. And as Jordan goes and she loves somebody else in this room, looked at you and said, he. She's loving with the love of God. And as each of you pass that love on to one another, God is literally loving through you to each other. Why? Because he's abiding in you. He's living inside of you. There's nothing better. There's nothing more personal. And the last phrase of that verse is, because he has given us of his Spirit. He sealed you. The Holy Spirit is a seal. He's a promise. He's literally, if you take two pieces of paper, you rip it like that, and you have two pieces of paper, and you put them together, are they going to stay together? They're just going to fall. If you put some glue in there and do this, what now? Come on. I know it was a long day at school. They stick. But it's not a trick question. Okay? They stick. And it really happens. The Holy Spirit is our glue. He's our seal in relationships. As I talk about me being able to even communicate with God, you know how I can do that? Only because of the glue. Only because of the Holy Spirit who opens up that access so I can speak to God. so I can be in a relationship with God. He's my glue. And the only way you can really love each other, not just with your human broken love that isn't really valid for a whole lot, but with the love of the creator of the universe that's now in you, holy cow, you're able to have relationships beyond your imagination because of the glue of the Holy Spirit that bonds and unifies you as the body of Christ. Those are lasting relationships that you want. You don't want the trash. You don't want the broken things that are going to leave you broken and other people broken. You want healthy relationships bonded together by the glue of the Holy Spirit. He sealed you. He's promised his life in you. I have one verse I want to read you to close. This is my conclusion, all right? So you're not like, he's going to preach a whole nother one? No. I'm just going to read you a verse. Isaiah 64:8. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are all the work of your hand." As you engage in a relationship with God, let him mold you. Let him work in your heart. Wrestle with him. Ask him questions. Talk to him. Celebrate with him. Live life with God. Don't just make him some distant thing, because he's not distant. He's intimate, living in you. Live life with him. Let him grow you. Have a true relationship with him. Will you pray with me as we close? Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you want to be in a relationship with us. That you don't look down at broken, dirty people full of sin and just make us disappear. You choose to love us in spite of what we do. And I pray, Father, that each of us would know you personally tonight. To have a true saving relationship with Jesus Christ. With your eyes still closed, guys, I just want to tell you this before I finish prayer, as we talk to God together. I remind you every week, and I want to say it again, you have leaders that love you so much the way we're talking about. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, will you please ask your leader or come find me tonight and say, how do I know this God? How do I have a real relationship like this? We would love to tell you that. Or if you're here tonight, you're like, man, I've got some broken relationships with people around me, or I'm in a relationship with someone that needs to just be fixed, and you want prayer, we would love to pray with you over it, talk to you about it. Please feel free to come find us tonight. Father, we just give you tonight, and we hope that you're glorified because you're worthy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.